following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good morning, good afternoon, Packers fans. The Green 19 podcast is back after the first round of the 2020 NFL Draft. I am Jim Ozarski, along with my co-host Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, PackersNews.com. And Tom, let's get right to it. The Green Bay Packers do a thing that Brian Gutekunst prepared us for, both in February and earlier this week, in drafting a first-round quarterback in Utah State passer Jordan Love. I think the surprise is he traded up to do it. He sent the number 30 overall pick and his lone fourth-round selection, number 136, to Miami to move up to number 26 overall. And those are the particulars, Tom, so let's go right there. You were on the live blog at jsonline.com all night long. Obviously, we heard the Packers' reaction, fans' reaction. We've heard from Brian Gutekunst and Jordan Love. So yeah, let's hit it. Tom, what was the initial reaction on your end when this all went down?
Well, you know, it's really funny because I did a poll of, you know, the bloggers, and it came out almost to an exact number. It was 50-50. And so people are really, you know, they either like it or they don't. There's no in between in it. And I think I heard a groan from around the city of Milwaukee, which is where I am right now, because people, you know, the people who wanted them to address the roster right now were quite upset. I was surprised. I was really surprised at the pick. I thought they were going to take a quarterback, and I was talking to someone, scout today, about that and feeling him out for Jordan Love, and he was like, you know, he's going to go in the first round, and you know, somewhere near where the Packers are, and sure enough, that was the case. Trading up was interesting. I think there's always this fear that someone's going to step in front of you and take a guy. I mean, look at Tampa, traded one spot up to, I can't even remember who it was they went up to get now.
Tristan Wirfs, the tackle.
And so there's a little bit of insecurity there for teams. I think he didn't want to get stuck there at 30 having to take someone he didn't like. And that was kind of what it was. It sounds like that's what was happening. He didn't have much action to move back. And so he decided, well, I'll just go for the quarterback.
Yeah, it's, I'll be honest. You know, I guess I didn't think Jordan Love would be the best player on the Packers board. You know, I think you and I talked about Patrick Queen, the linebacker. You know, I think a key note to make for Packers fans here, Brian Gutekunst said to us, Tom, when you asked, hey, you know, what about moving up to 23? Kind of like when the Chargers sent two picks, a second and a third, to Los Angeles to move up to 23. They took Oklahoma linebacker Kenneth Murray, and Goody said, no, we felt we could sit there. And then he said, in between is what changed it, and the Saints took a center, Carlos Ruiz out of Michigan, who they may move to guard. But Tom, what do you think? Was it the move of the San Francisco 49ers trading with the Minnesota Vikings? They sent three picks to move from the end of the first round to number 25 to take Arizona State wide receiver Brandon Ayotte. I guess that had to be what he was talking about there in terms of what could change that made him feel he had to make the move up.
Yeah.
I mean, was Iyo the receiver he wanted? Was it? I don't know. I'm kind of curious about that.
I don't know if that changed who he wanted, but I think it changed it. It gave him some indication that there was room for teams to move up. And I think he had an understanding that Miami was open for trading. And I think he was a little bit worried about someone else moving in, that maybe Tennessee was willing to trade, or maybe Baltimore was willing to trade, if someone was going to come up for a quarterback. He might have also thought that New England, who traded back, might come back, try to come back and take Jordan Love. I think what he basically did was say, I'm willing to give up a fourth round pick to guarantee that I get this guy. When he said he wouldn't go up to 23rd, I asked him that because to me, that's where he had to go to get Kenneth Murray. If he wanted to get Kenneth Murray, he had to go to number 23. And if he's telling the truth, they had no interest in Kenneth Murray. They weren't going to move up to take an inside linebacker. The only way they were going to move up was to take a quarterback and Jordan Love. I don't think they tried that hard. I don't think there was anybody they saw that was just a must-have in that part of the draft.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess, you know, we can debate inside linebacker and whatnot, but I think let's stick to what this means. So obviously, to me, this officially starts the clock on, to a degree, right, on Aaron Rodgers. He is signed through the 2022 season, his age 40 campaign. We don't need to break down the cap details, ramifications of this, Tom, but clearly, 15 years ago to the day, right, when Aaron Rodgers fell to Ted Thompson, he's about the same age as Brett Favre was. What is the reaction, or what do you think the reaction is of the current quarterback? And, you know, Goody has said didn't matter to him what the quarterback would think. He said he hadn't talked to Aaron, you know, when we spoke to him about 1 a.m. on Friday. This is a big one, you know. So how does this play out for the second time in your career on this beat here, Tom?
You know, I think all quarterbacks at that age are insecure. I think they, you know, they're confident and they don't believe anybody can beat them out until someone drafts a first round pick. And then they go, oh, maybe my career is getting near the end. You know, they never did that to Tom Brady in New England. They never brought a first round pick Garoppolo. You know, they did take him, but they traded him, you know, when Brady was still in his prime. I think that this has to be unsettling for Rodgers. And to some degree, I think it's a message. I'm sure they're not going to admit that, but, you know, LaFleur's, I don't think he got a chance to really get his offense the way he wanted it. And this is a chance to develop a quarterback from the ground up. And instead of having a guy who had 13 years of doing it one way. And I think it also, I think it's important that they have a backup who can win games. I don't think you can underestimate that. They have not had that forever. You know, they've, anytime Rodgers has gone down, it's been a disaster. So I think to some degree they're, you know, he's an insurance for now, while at the same time you're developing him for later.
You know, it's interesting. Okay, so I'm going to put a pin in the backup part of this, and let's go back to the quarterback and Aaron Rodgers. You had said something in the live blog, which again we recommend for people to make sure to follow. It's probably it's an OG virtual hangout. It's been happening for a long time with Tom, and we encourage you to do that over the next couple of days of the draft too. You had said something, paraphrase here, Tom, where it was sort of like, as you alluded to, it kind of puts Rodgers on notice, and he can't kind of get away with stuff or do what he wants. I guess him and LaFleur talked a lot about they got along, they did some things, but we know it didn't quite mesh perfectly, I guess. So in a truncated offseason where Jordan Love isn't going to be able to have a rookie camp or OTAs, so how does this affect the 2020 offense in any way? Does it give LaFleur a little more juice to have the quarterback run his stuff? Like or is it still just a mishmash of things this year? I guess I'm sort of curious, does this have any impact on the 2020 quarterback situation, even though Jordan Love, isn't gonna play?
Well, yeah, I think it does. I don't think Jordan Love is gonna come in and outplay Rodgers in practice. I don't think he's gonna have a better understanding of the offense, but I do think he's gonna come in and I think he's gonna make some plays that will be like no other that Rodgers has been around. You know, no backup has been able to make those plays that Jordan Love's going to make. I mean, this guy's got a cannon of an arm. He can get outside the pocket. Now, he might be inconsistent, but if he's going to run LaFleur's offense the way it should be, he's not going to run it the way Aaron Rodgers does. And to me, that's going to be Rodgers will be watching this. And he, you know, if Jordan Love gets kind of hot or, you know, he has some good days in practice, I think it puts a little bit of pressure on Rodgers to kind of, you know, not necessarily go his own direction all the time. I'm having a hard time expressing this, but I just, the feel of having competition in camp when a young guy comes in and he just does something where everybody's like, wow, that puts some pressure on your veteran quarterback, and then he's got to start doing things that impress people too.
So I find it interesting, Tom, that you at least feel that Jordan Love would be a backup in 2019. I mean, for all I've heard and read about Jordan Love, raw things to learn, all the stuff about a quarterback, I mean, Brian Gutekunst has already set the precedent. He carried three QBs on the roster in 2018. I don't, like, if they roll in, look, there's a real scenario where training camp is cut even more. There's no workout, no on-field anything. There's maybe a preseason game or two. How does Tim Boyle not enter 2019 as your backup? Because you talk about winning a game. I don't know. Can they really do that? Or I'm just fascinated by this in that way, because here's a team that says, you know, Brian Gutekunst says they still want to win a championship in 2020, but you may have to shorten your roster a little bit. I don't know. Or do you think Jordan Love, like Tim Boyle, is cut right now, basically?
I do.
Like,
I mean, you can't draft a guy in the first round and think that the talent level between him and Tim Boyle isn't enormous. I mean, it is enormous. This guy's going to come in and he's going to make plays that Tim Boyle could never make in a million years. He might not make them as often, but I mean, we've not seen Tim Boyle make any great plays. They've just kept them based on the fact that they didn't have anyone else. And, You know, he was good enough. I mean, he was okay in the preseason. But this is a guy, I think you definitely groom him to be the backup. And even if it's hard luck and he struggles, he's going to get better. He's going to be, you know, he's starting at a level that was so much higher than Boyle or Manny Wilkins. And I think absolutely he'd have to be the backup. I think if he wasn't, then they might as well not have drafted him, or then they've made a big mistake if he can't be the backup.
Wow, that's okay. I guess that fight, to me, it just runs counter to your statement earlier of having a backup that can win you a game. Because I don't see any scenario right now that would...
Well,
I mean...
I don't know if you were here when Brett Favre was around in the beginning, but they couldn't have put him in a game. They put Don Majkowski in a game, you know, as a starter because he knew the offense more. And then Favre came in and he had so much talent that, you know, they figured out a way to pare down the offense so he could be successful. The talent level between two guys like that is so great that, you know, you find a way to make it work with a guy like that. I just don't think you take a guy in the first round and you don't make him your backup or you don't put him on the field. Then you're, why the heck did you take him in the first round then?
Interesting. So is there any, you know, for our listeners who didn't live through, you know, 08 to 05 to 08, you know, obviously people remember Favre threatening retirement, and we've heard from Rodgers on how he wasn't the greatest mentor and all that stuff. But I mean, it's not like Rodgers played, you know what I mean? Even though he looked the way he did in practice, that we've heard those stories. So what parallels can be drawn, or what do you think might make this different than that scenario? And we're not saying Jordan Love's the heir apparent. I mean, look, in 2 years, and he looks great in preseason, but Aaron Rodgers wins an MVP in a Super Bowl, they may ship Jordan Love off to the next team and, you know, and they try it again in 2023. But what parallels can we draw, and maybe what may be different once we actually get to see these guys on the field together?
Well, the big difference is that Rodgers isn't threatening to retire. He wants this job, and he's not questioning whether he wants to play football anymore. He definitely wants to play football. And I think Jordan Love, though, is going to get a lot of snaps in camp and a lot of snaps in the preseason because Rodgers knows the offense. They'll just get him ready to play and everything will be developed to make Jordan Love successful. I don't know how the relationship will go. I don't imagine that Rodgers would be outwardly hostile to Love, but I also know that Rodgers has his way of being making you read between the lines that he's not happy, or he makes it known in a very left-handed or backhanded way. So I don't know how threatened he'll feel. He's very confident. I don't think it's going to be a big problem. I think it might be a problem if Jordan Love all of a sudden is just tearing it up in practice and there's this movement where people are starting to boo Rodgers when he's making mistakes and they want Jordan Love. That's going to be there. That's going to hang out there. Fans, anytime Rodgers screws up, it's going to be like, okay, it's time for Jordan Love. And Rodgers is going to have to be ready for that. That's part of, you know, people always want the backup. You know, they always think the backup is going to be so much better. And so Rodgers is going to have to prepare himself, at least from the fan base, for that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. You know, I think he got a little taste of some of that after Mike McCarthy got fired, and then that guy wasn't in the room anymore. And I think the quarterback took some bullets after that, both in the media, I think the fans as well. So the one guy, you know, we haven't heard from, we haven't seen, we saw Matt LaFleur for the first time in many months on camera briefly. How is the head coach going to handle this, Tom? Because the GM can tell us today about best player available, best thing for the Packers, long term. And Matt LaFleur is the one that's got to answer questions every day in training camp. He's the one who's got to answer the questions. How is the second year head coach going to navigate this situation? Because this is a little different than even last year when we wondered how the first year head coach is going to handle Aaron Rodgers.
I think this is the way I envision it, is that LaFleur will still work with Rodgers. I mean, he'll be really close to Rodgers. They'll work on the game plans together, and they'll let Nathaniel Hackett and Luke Getsy work on Jordan Love. Now, LaFleur will be involved in charting practice and designing practices to try to make Jordan Love successful. But I think he'll stay over by Rodgers. You know, he'll still come into the quarterback meetings and talk about whatever it is they talk about. But I think he'll spend the majority of his time with Rodgers, and the development will have to come from the other assistants. You know, LaFleur will spend whatever time he does with the quarterbacks about fundamentals and all that kind of stuff. But I don't see it changing all that much for LaFleur. I think where it comes in is designing the practices, designing preseason, and, you know, just if he starts giving Jordan Love some reps during practice during the regular season, you know, like he wants him to have a few more than Tim Boyle would normally get, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Right, because Tim Boyle said this season that he didn't get any reps in practice. Once it was training camp and it's Aaron's time, it's Aaron's reps. And Tim Boyle was practice squad, and perhaps that's to our conversation earlier about the backup situation. Maybe that's the decision they have to make, right? That how can either be prepared to back up Aaron Rodgers if they have to split practice reps, right? So, you know, these are questions we're going to have to ask the head coach, I guess, at the end of the draft. In general, I guess any final thoughts, Tom, on, because I do want to ask a broader team question here, but just on this idea of drafting this quarterback, trading up to do it. Clearly, you know, it doesn't feel like Gutekunst is going to draft a quarterback in 2021. So any final thoughts on this move and this player here on Thursday night, Friday morning?
I would just say that I don't think the draft is over for the Packers. I don't know what else to say about Jordan Love. I think he's got a lot of learning to do, and I don't think he's going to come in and blow people away. I think there's going to be moments where he blows people away with his talent. He does have a lot of talent. He's got a big arm, and he can get outside the pocket, and he's a big guy. I think there will be moments. I think he'll also have practices where he throws five interceptions. It's just going to be, you know, the focus. I think there will be a lot of focus on him instead of all the focus being on Rodgers. There's going to be focus on Jordan Love, and then he's going to have to be able to deal with that as well.
Right. So, Now, let's reset this for those of you loyal listeners who are listening to this all day Friday as you get ready for the second day. The Packers currently now have the number 62 overall pick in the second round, the number 94 overall pick in the third round, no fourth round pick, the number 5 overall pick, the number 175 overall pick in the fifth round, currently 3 sixths and 2 sevenths. Tom. Clearly this pick does not help them in 2020. I will maintain the Packers are worse now than they were when they got trounced in San Francisco based on their loss of Brian Bulaga. We can argue some of their other pieces at linebacker as well. Where are they at? I mean, Gutekunst says this is still about winning a championship in 2020. What can the Packers do going forward? What positions do they have to address? Can they do it with those picks? Or are we going to see a very active Brian Gutekunst in some way trying to move up in the second round to get a receiver? Does he stick at 62 and try to do some other stuff later? What do you see here Friday and Saturday?
Well, I don't think he can move up in the second round. I mean, he's going to use a sixth round pick to move up? Looking at the draft chart, it's like he could move up two spots with a sixth, you know, and that's with the sixth that the Raiders gave him, which is number 13. So he's not moving up in the second unless he gives away his third, but that would be stupid. I mean, you got to, second and third round picks are huge. He's got to use both of those picks or figure out a way to get more than that. I think what we'll see is we'll see a wide receiver. There's no question we'll see a wide receiver. And then he's got a hit on an inside linebacker. I don't know how you cannot go into the season with the guys they have and compete. It's just, that would be crazy. Now, maybe he went into this draft already knowing he's going to sign Clay Matthews or someone else to play the inside. I mean, it's very possible they felt like there's going to be some people out there in free agency that they'll still be able to get. He better get them, you know, because really, I talked to Scout today and I asked him, I had him compare Blake Martinez with all the guys after Queen, Murray, and sort of Jordan Brooks. And he said he would take Blake Martinez over all those guys, you know, after. Even though there's some talented guys with speed, you know, who are faster than Blake Martinez from an all-around standpoint, he thought Blake Martinez was a better draft pick than what's left on the board. So, you know, they're going to get a guy maybe like Blake Martinez or, you know, sort of similar, and that will be the guy that they play with. It might be in the third round. It might be in the, it can't be in the fourth round. Maybe it'll be in the fifth round. That's basically what they're going to have to do. And in the second and third, they've got to get a wide receiver, maybe another wide receiver. They can address tackle in the later rounds. I mean, I don't think that's you can roll with Rick Wagner and then maybe sign another veteran, maybe bring back Jared Valdir. But that doesn't help you in the next year. You know, then you start talking about the future. Maybe he just can't address the future this year at tackle.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I can't knock a developmental pick in the first round, Tom, because I thought that's what Austin Jackson might be. He actually ended up going to Miami a little bit earlier than this. So if I was okay with them taking a tackle that might not see the field till 21, I guess the quarterback might not see the field for 3 years, but Yeah, it is very early Friday morning. I think we hit a lot of this and hit a lot of the concerns of Packers fans, and we addressed how Brad Gutekunst got here and what he may do here going forward. So, Tom, of course, you were manning the live blog over at journaljsonline.com, packersnews.com. You're doing that the rest of the weekend, I imagine. So what, any other thoughts, final thoughts here for our listeners before we talk to them again here soon this weekend?
I would just say that there's a lot of draft left, and those second and third round picks matter. And you can get some good players in the second and third round. And so this is where he's got to do his best work. He got a quarterback, and okay. But he's got to find some guys who can help them this year. They don't have to start. They don't have to be stars, but they got to come in and they have to contribute. They have to be either be on special teams or be backup players, be a number three or four wide receiver, be possibly a backup tackle. That's the kind of guys you got to get. You got to hit on somebody who can help you somewhere. And that's what the second and third rounds are all about.
Yeah, especially because you mentioned signing veterans. That cap space is shrinking, especially if you look at looming contract extensions for Kenny Clark and David Bakhtiari. So a lot of work left to do. We will see how it plays out. Of course, we will be with you throughout the draft all day long over the next few days. PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com. Subscribe. It's like a dollar. Then turn on the notifications for those apps. You want all of it right at your fingertips on all your devices as you do this virtually with us. And, of course, we will be back with you on the Green 19 podcast very shortly. Right, Tom? We will be back with you before you know
it. It's a quick turnaround, man. We'll both get a couple hours sleep and be back at it tomorrow evening.
Yep, so we will speak to you all then. Have a good one.